This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We had conversations throughout spring training, and he was very vocal about how he felt. And we made a decision. Alex is going to play third. Rafi's going to DH. And we all are in the winning business. And he understands that. It's like everything, right? You don't have to agree with it, but at the end of the day, what are we going to do to go out there and perform every single day? And he's been working hard, not only with his swing, but the routine, of course, it's a little bit different. But somebody mentioned, can he do it? Every DH used to be a position player until there were DHs, right? JD went through the same transition in 2018. He was an outfielder. He became a DH, and you saw what happened. So we expect the same thing. The kid is ready to go. He's going to hit second against lefties and righties, and he's going to DH. And I think having Alex behind him is going to benefit him. And, honestly, I expect a great season from Rafi offensively.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's opening day. We've been celebrating all day long. We already gave you our MLB season predictions. You can find those on the Odyssey app. We gave you a live dong pool draft.
You're not going to get that everywhere.
I can't imagine you're getting that a lot of other places. We did that live earlier today. That's also on the Odyssey app. You should be able to see the full breakdown on social media at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can still vote in the first semifinal matchup, Final Four, Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket as well on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. But it is opening day, and we figured what better way to preview Red Sox opening day, their season, than to go on the clock at high noon, as we do every Thursday here on the show, and give you 60 seconds on how we think the Red Sox season will go, a Red Sox season preview, if you will. I believe Keefe has first ups this week.
Yeah, I think you went first last week in our bracket.
Okay.
When we did our bracket in 60 seconds.
That thing's not doing well, by the way.
No!
Yeah.
No. Where I screamed for a minute about how St. John's was going to win the whole thing. Yeah, that did not go great.
I wasn't listening at all because Pagliuca put out his statement, and yeah. I was just not listening to you. You were yelling about St. John's. Correct. That didn't hit. My bracket's gone to crap.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, okay. Some of them you want back.
Sure.
They can't all be
winning. But this is what I feel like can't miss. You can't throw this back in my face.
No. Red Sox season preview. Keefe has 60 seconds. I have 60 seconds. You want to go on the clock with your own Red Sox season preview?
Yes.
We'll give you 30 seconds.
All right, that's half as much time.
At 617-779-7937. All right, let's hear from Keefe.
All right, very exciting season upcoming for the Red Sox, which I think for the first time in 5 years is going to be from tip to tail, soup to nuts, exciting. It's not going to dive off a cliff at the All-Star break or at the trade deadline. They're going to be in it the whole time. In fact, I predict they win the AL East this year. They beat the Yankees and the Orioles. They get back to the playoffs. Garrett Crochet is going to be the Cy Young winner. He's going to lead the American League in strikeouts. He's also going to have the price of his contract go way up because they are not going to get a deal done in season. Rafael Devers is going to have a decent season. I think he's going to bounce back, have a 30-plus home run season for him as the full-time DH. Jaron Duran also going to solidify himself as one of the best outfielders in baseball. Had an out-of-nowhere year last year where he's fantastic. I think he's going to continue that. Bregman is going to be nails at third base and one of the reasons why this is a really good team. I'm also excited for all three young guys who will play this year. Campbell is starting at second base, but Marcelo Mayer will take over for the injured Trevor Story in about a month and a half, and Roman Anthony will start and write at some point.
Okay, that is a Red Sox season preview in 60 seconds. Clip that. Don't throw it back in our faces and make fun of us when things don't go well. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be some overlap here.
Oh, boy.
But, Nick, why don't you throw me on the clock? All right, Red Sox season preview in 60 seconds. I have the Red Sox winning the AL East, 93 wins. That's one fewer than the Yankees a season ago when they won 94. I not only have them winning the division, I also have the Red Sox winning the pennant. They'll advance to the World Series. They will lose, not to the Dodgers, but to Dave Dombrowski and the Philadelphia Phillies. Alex Bregman going to be worth every penny. Right-handed power. He's going to wear out the monster, and he's going to upgrade the defense. In a related story, Rafael Devers, still fat, but he's going to rake. He's going to hit 30-plus home runs this year. I also think Jaron Duran is legit. He proves he's not a one-hit wonder. He can make a run at going 30-30 this year for the Red Sox. I think Garrett Crochet is going to dominate. I'll say top five in the Cy Young, but no contract extension, which means fans are going to be upset, and I'd imagine he'll be upset as well. The saves leader for the Red Sox, not currently on the team, so they're going to have to trade for a closer. And all three prospects make their debuts. I think Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony will make an impact come playoff time for this Red Sox team.
Very good, Jones.
How about that? 60 seconds.
That is good. Nailed it in 60 seconds.
Did you make a prediction?
I didn't. I say ALCS. I mentioned that earlier. I forgot to include it in the thing. I think they make the ALCS. They lose to the Royals, who then lose to the Dodgers.
Did you make a prediction on the Crochet contract extension there? I know we talked about it earlier on the show.
Extension.
You did say that.
Yeah, they won't get. He'll win the Cy Young, therefore the price will go up.
Yeah.
But no, he will not.
Yeah, like in some ways.
Get a deal done.
I don't want to say the Red Sox are rooting against their own guy.
But in some ways. Be good. You're going to be great, but be good.
There is an element of that.
So the roster is out. And so there are some transactions. Let me throw some your way. Some are not surprising. Some maybe slightly surprising. So Christian Campbell, Sean Newcomb make the active roster. No surprise. That's been
lineup's
talked about.
Lineup is out. Lineup is out.
It's been talked about for
roster's
a
out.
Roster's out. Although lineup, we'll get the lineup on our show. Right? We will have the lineup. Should be around 1 o'clock probably.
Yeah, it should be soon, yeah.
All right, so Masataka Yoshida will begin the year on the 10-day IL, retroactive to March 24th. These are all retroactive to March 24th, by the way. But Yoshida, 10-day IL. Brian Bayo, 15-day IL. Cutter Crawford, 15-day IL. Lucas Giolito, 15-day IL. Liam Hendricks, 15-day IL.
Wow. So that's,
yeah.
I didn't see that one coming.
No, so that, I mean the starters we knew.
Bradford just gave us a big clue when we talked to him.
Yeah, he's like, don't expect him today. They might not go to him today.
So he's like, I don't even think they're going to use him.
Yeah, not even.
Now, again, he's retroactive to March 24th. So, yeah, he's going to be out for a bit.
But he's on the 15 days.
No, so exactly. He's going to be out for a little bit.
At least April 9th or 10th.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And then a couple other ones about lesser guys. All due respect.
You don't want to update Zach Penrod?
Nope.
Nick Sogard?
Nick Sogard will be at AAA. Maybe we'll talk to Nick Sogard tomorrow.
We're going to see Nick Sogard tomorrow in Worcester. That's true.
He had the most at-bats for the Red Sox in the spring. Hmm. Fun fact about Nick Sogard.
Tell you what, I got him.
Which would be my first question for him. Not really a question, just more of a statement. See where he goes with it.
Got him.
Sick brag, bro.
Got him. One-way ticket to Worcester.
Top guy.
That did. All right. So that's our roster here, which means the breakdown. You have two catchers, five infielders, Bregman, Cassis, Devers, Hamilton, Story. Outfielders, Abreu, Duran, Ref Snyder. And then infielder, outfielders. This is interesting, Keith.
Infielder, outfielder. Notice does that include the catcher?
Did you notice how the Red Sox listed this? Pitcher, catcher, infielder, outfielder. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
I did.
Then they also have infielder, outfielders. Campbell, Gonzalez, Rafaela.
Right.
Okay. There's your breakdown. So who is the kind of sneaky pitcher who made the roster? Greg Weissert?
I think Weissert or maybe Bernardino might have been like the last guy probably.
So, yeah, the headliner there, because we knew most of this, right?
We knew
Campbell was going to be on the team. We knew like Bayo and Crawford, Giolito were all going to be on the IL. We knew Yoshida was going to be on the IL. Hendricks is interesting. And like we just talked to Bradfo about this. It sounds like it's a closer by committee. He's like, yeah, well, most teams have two. And he gave you the Yankees as an example. Well, yeah, but they have two high-end good ones. You have Chapman, and then I'm not even sure what.
Right.
So that'll be a sneaky problem that I think we've actually given a lot of attention to in the spring. But by today, you laid it out. Crochet goes seven innings. He mows him down, 10 Ks. And then the bullpen pees it away?
I think that's why. And Bradford's also been really high on Whitlock the whole time. Yeah. And I like the idea of Whitlock. I just think we give Casas and Story a hard time about getting hurt. Nobody gets hurt more than Whitlock. So my fear is with him, he does have good stuff. So if he becomes the setup guy or even the closer, it's only a matter of
now
time.
Now you're relying on him, and he's a ticking time bomb.
And so that's scary. But Slayton's solid. You know, Chapman was solid in the spring. So maybe they get by with those guys.
Okay, but this is why I do feel that the guy who's going to lead the team in saves isn't on the roster right now. And I don't know how they got him.
Hendricks.
True, good point. There is a nice loophole there. But even including Hendricks, I think they're going to have to make a move for a closer. And who knows, maybe it's just a low save total all year. You can't go into the postseason with this, and I hope they won't.
Right.
But as Bradfo said, even if you're going to tolerate Chapman at the end of these games, too many base runners, walks too many guys, he's walking a tightrope too often. Yeah, he throws 100 miles an hour and he'll punch people out, but that's going to be a risky way to go about closing out these games when you get to high-level games. It's April. You can figure out a bullpen, but they are going to have to figure it out.
Also, this is very much like an opening day conversation, but I did see a couple of texts about this. So the backup catcher this year to start the year is Carlos
Narvaez.
Narvaez.
Not to be confused with Omar Narvaez.
Not Omar.
No.
Carlos Narvaez.
That threw me.
Who is 26 years old. He has six career games played last year with the Yankees. So he's a rookie. It, does that mean Connor Wong basically plays every day? Or, I mean, you know,
maybe.
Four or five probably.
And who's going to catch Wakefield?
How
are you going to catch a knuckleball with this backup
catcher?
Use
a first baseman's glove back there. That's the thing. You don't want to use a real catcher's mitt.
That's true.
But no, that's another one just of note when you're looking at the roster, because it's a guy that we probably haven't brought up at all throughout all of spring.
So we gave you our Red Sox season previews in 60 seconds. Those will be up shortly on social media at Jones and Keefe. We broke down the full Red Sox roster, which is finalized. Hendricks, kind of a surprise that he's opening the season on the IL. We are bullish on the Red Sox, as you heard.
Yes.
I think most people these days are bullish on the Red Sox. We asked this to Bradford last hour. We talked about it earlier in the show. Our expectations getting a little out of hand on the Red Sox. Three people on this program, when we did our season predictions, had them in the World Series earlier today.
Out of hand. And
all four of us had them in the ALCS.
Right.
All four of us, I assume, have them winning the division. Billy has them winning the World Series. We broke down ESPN.com yesterday. I think they had 13 of their 28 panelists picking the Red Sox to win the division, 10 to win the American League. Buster Olney had them losing in the World Series in that group of 10. MLB.com came out with their season predictions this year. And I just read it as a way to illustrate.
Yeah, just national look at the Red Sox.
Some of the expectations for the Red Sox. Boston hasn't enjoyed a winning season since 2021. And they finished in the AL East cellar two of the last 3 years. But voters believe the club is primed to turn things around after making two of the highest profile moves this winter. That would be Bregman and that would be Crochet. Those were a couple of reasons why this year could be a special one in Boston. Beyond those aforementioned names and established stars such as Devers and Duran, Boston's 2025 outlook is brightened by a stellar crop of prospects in Campbell, who is MLB Pipeline's number 7 prospect, Anthony, number 2 prospect, and Meyer, the number 12 prospect. They say injuries befall every team, but the Red Sox will be well-suited to fix any holes that may appear, especially on the position player side. They're assuming promotions, I would add. You also have prospects you could move if needs arise in season. Not that you have to move any of those three guys necessarily.
Right.
But if needs arise, you have a deeper farm system to go get a closer or what have you. So not only are they more talented and better situated in a more wide-open American League, they have the means to address needs in season. That's why MLB.com has them getting to the World Series and losing to the Dodgers.
Yeah, and I think it's fair. Like, if any, like, one or two people said that, you'd be like, yeah, that's a good take. But the fact that so many are on it, I don't love. Like, I thought they'd be a little bit more of, like, a under-the-radar team, which they're not. Now, they're not the Yankees, or they're not even like the, you know, the defending division champs or the defending American League champs. They're not that. But it does seem like a lot of people are on them, and just a couple of moves, and that's what was able to do it. I also love the line in there, just, and we know this, but when you see it in print, it's like the 12th best prospect in baseball is the third best on the team.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty sweet. And the lineup, I have no problem with the lineup. I think at any point, like, you can lose a guy. Basically, they're going to get rid of Yoshida just because there's no room for him. Like, their lineup on a game-to-game basis should be great. And either as good or better than the team that they're playing. I think, let's see what happens with the rotation and the bullpen. Because the rotation right now, you're already down three starters. They were like, oh, maybe a six-man rotation. Three of them are hurt. And then another one is Tanner Houck, who had a horrible spring.
Terrible.
So how does that all play out? And then does the bullpen have a guy? Does the bullpen have a guy or two? But this could be a very different type of trade deadline, or not even trade deadline. This could be 2 months from now. They might say, all right, we have all this set. The team is too good to just kind of tread water. Like, we need to make a move and address whether, I mean, God forbid it's a starting pitcher, because it does seem like on paper you have a lot of them. They're just all hurt. Or maybe it is a reliever. But they should be able to add to it, and they've shown this offseason that they are willing to do it.
That's a good point. Like, if you ever get all these guys healthy, maybe you have an arm you can move. Oh, that's a dangerous game. You move a guy because you have too many. Somebody gets hurt, now you don't have enough.
Available again.
So that's a dangerous game. But okay. I do think it's good to have the Red Sox interesting again, not to hammer this home too much this offseason and specifically today. But it's good to have the Red Sox be interesting. That doesn't mean they'll be good. I mean, they might fail spectacularly. We've seen this with teams before. What did the Herald call the Red Sox in, 2011? Best team ever or something like that?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Blue ribbon.
Yeah, couldn't even make the playoffs. So, you know, it's not a guarantee they're going to be good by any means, but we all think they're going to be good. And there's actual stakes and expectations and consequences for the team this year. So, like, how does Cora handle that? You made the point. Has Cora ever really had to deal with expectations? I mean, I guess 2019 after they won in 2018.
No, I think he has. I'm just saying, like, I think...
Has he dealt with a rough patch was really more your
point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because he had all, like... His tenure has been pretty wild just because he was suspended, but then he also missed a forgotten season that nobody even remembers or cares about. Then he got the job right away, and then they were good again. So, like, win it all in 18... Disappointing 19, out of baseball for 20, back in the ALCS in 21. And then after that, most people have given him excuses. Like, well, your team traded Mookie Betts. Your team didn't re-sign Bogarts. Your team, like this, that Chris Sale's always hurt. Like, he had all these things against him. Now it's the first time where I think everybody's looking at it like, well, you're a playoff team. If you're not a playoff team, something went really, really wrong. And you can't just blame it on an injury or two.
No. And so I'm curious to see how he handles it. Like, Bregman feels like a big game guy. Now he's here in Boston. Can he handle it? Crochet's never had to do it under the spotlight. He pitched for one of the worst teams in baseball history last year for the Chicago White Sox. Like, Walker Buehler also feels like a big game guy. How does that transition here? Never mind guys who have played here and are under the spotlight.
Right.
Devers, because he's upset. Cassis has been a moody guy all along. So how do they handle it? With the spotlight really truly on them for the first time in a while, that's one of the subplots of the entire season. And we got some news earlier today with the Red Sox and their roster. Somebody expected to be in the closer mix will not start the team this year with the Red Sox. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. And let's get to Garrett Crochet. Not only the contract extension conversation, but what are your expectations on opening day at a Crochet? We get to see him for the first time. I know you're excited about it. We'll get to it next.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of healing and hope while raising much-needed funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT, 888-843-6837.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Did he specifically say, hey, once opening day gets here, don't want to talk about a new deal? Or is it something that you guys can have an ongoing discussion about?
You know, there's not going to discuss any negotiations that are happening in private or discussions. There's no baseball MLB rule or deadline, but we will follow Garrett's lead in terms of the desire to have conversations, given the nature where he's here. He's like I said, anchoring our rotation, and any discussions about what happens 2-3 years from now, we'll keep private.
How's Sam Kennedy, front office report on the Greg Hill Show earlier today. If you missed any of it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss anything from WEEI, Greg Hill Show, WEEI Afternoons, Arcand at Night, or here on Jones and Keith. You can preview the Red Sox season in 30 seconds. We'll put you on the clock, 617-779-7937. We'll get into what Sam Kennedy had to say about Garrett Crochet and his extension, but we do have the opening day lineup,
all
Keith.
All right.
It's a doozy.
Very exciting.
Right after the heart, I'm sure, of Evan Drellick.
Yep. What do we got?
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
There it
is.
Thank you, Evan.
That's real.
Jaron Duran leading off and playing left field. Rafael Devers, your DH, batting second. Alex Bregman hitting third and playing third. At cleanup, Cassis in first. Trevor Story, your shortstop, batting fifth. Here's where the lineup gets interesting and maybe somewhat surprising, although this was a lineup late in spring training. Christian Campbell.
Yeah, higher than I thought.
Fresh out of Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
At second base, batting sixth.
So, I mean, if they think that he's comfortable with that, great. I always just sort of assume, especially the way some of the lineups were early in spring training, is put a little less pressure on him, have him hit eighth or ninth. You know, I know Rafaela hits ninth a lot, so maybe you have him hit eighth. But maybe they're looking at it. He was trending up. I know his overall spring stats weren't great, but he was trending up a little bit, so... Have him hit sixth? All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Ride the wave. I mean, look, the thing is, when Pedroia came up, and I guess I'd have to go back and look at it, I'd imagine the lineup was more balanced than it is now. Like, they need right-handed hitting in this lineup.
They do. And so they go lefty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, righty. Lefty,
and then righty, you righty, get yeah. Wong, I'm sorry, Abreu, yeah. Wong, Rafaela to round it out. Crochet, obviously pitching for the Red Sox, but... It's more evidence that Campbell is going to be on this team no matter what he did in spring, right?
Yeah, because he didn't exactly dominate.
No.
And Hamilton was okay, but it's not like Hamilton got robbed. Like, he, you know, hit 400 and was just making every single play. Like, he was fine. If it was a true competition and he were just like, who was better in spring, then Hamilton would have won. But clearly they were going into it hoping that Campbell would win. I think, you know, usually it's like the young guy that needs to win. What was the thing with Drake May? He's like, oh, he's got to win by knockout or whatever.
Got to win by knockout.
That was not the case for Campbell.
No,
clearly.
And like, honestly,
he just needs to be healthy.
If it was truly between he and Hamilton, I'm okay with what they did. I have no issue with it. It's like, good, you kept it close. You finished strong. It's David Hamilton. Who cares? That's how I would have treated it in your analogy with May and Brissett. If you were really making it an open competition and it's between two young players, Meyer and Campbell, I think you have a bigger gripe there.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't play Meyer out of position. I wouldn't necessarily rush him to the bigs. And he's not right-handed. So I would have broken the tie with Campbell as well. And if Campbell comes up and struggles, then you got to figure something out. But for today, no problem with it. In fact, I'm kind of excited to see him hit somewhere in the first two innings.
Who do you think's the biggest sort of swing player in the lineup? Meaning, like, if the guy's capable.
I think it's Cassis.
I think it is, too. I think it kind of has to be because... Just looking at it on paper, you're saying, my God, like that 1-5 could be lethal. And then there's like decent potential 6-9.
Yeah, who else could you make a case for? You could make a case for Story.
Yes.
You could make a case for Duran if you think he won't repeat what he did a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Devers, I guess.
Because I kind of think, maybe I'm...
But I agree with you. It is Cassis.
Maybe I'm not as worried about Duran as I should be, but I feel like Duran, Devers, and Bregman are going to be like give or take... You know, 4 or 5 home runs, kind of what you expect. Whereas Cassis and Story, there's two completely different outcomes that are both maybe equally likely. Like these two guys could combine for 15 home runs or they could combine for 60.
But most of that's injury related, right?
Yeah.
Like if
Story
plays.
Well,
which,
so
you know,
this I don't know about. So Cassis,
if Story plays, 25, right?
So I don't know. He's kind of sucked the whole time he's been with the Red Sox. He had a week where he dominated.
That's
he had
true.
A great week.
But if he's playing, you expect him to run into a week.
So last year when he came back, now I guess you could just put this all on the injury, but was real bad.
Yeah.
Like he was beyond bad. I think Casas
what
actually,
would we consider a full season for him? Like 140 games?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he hasn't done that
since
2021.
He's never done that in Boston.
No, he's played okay, in but that, 3 years, okay, but, he's played one full season.
Okay, but he played 94 games in 02 and he hit 20. He's 16 home runs. I'm sorry. I was looking at doubles. So
he
like
16 home runs.
If he play, he's, and this is all moot because he's never going to play 140 games. Yeah, but like if he did, Trevor Story would pop you 25. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
If Casas played you 140.
He's getting 25 home runs.
Yeah, so like I'm with you on that. I think all of that is injury related, and I can't predict injuries, but I wouldn't wager on either guy being healthy.
I mean, he hit 2 home runs last year in 26 games. So even if you extrapolate that out,
yeah, it's not great. That's a low.
No.
That's a low figure. What would that be? 10?
Yeah,
12?
He's the guy I expect the least out of. But one of the reasons why I'm still really high on the team is if he either gets hurt or he's such a disaster. You have one of the best prospects in baseball that plays that position that
Correct.
Could come up and
yeah, you're
still
less concerned.
Hit. So it's like before when they would run into an injury, they would have a non-major leaguer ready to go. They're like, all right, tap this guy. Like whether it was the rotation last year or whether it was, remember 2 years ago, the shortstops that they would parade out there? Like at least now you have.
What was the guy's name?
Yu Chang.
No.
Yu Chang got a lot of starts.
The guy who, Cora was like, this guy's not even a big leaguer. And then he was out there like hitting every day. What was that guy's name?
Mickey Gasper?
No.
What?
What a name.
The clouds.
They had a lot of guys playing last year.
Oh, you mean Mickey Gasper.
You're not talking about poor Nick Sogard. You're going to bury him.
No, he's going to join us tomorrow.
He's going to be at Worcester tomorrow, I would think.
I'll come up with the name. But no, I agree with what you're saying. Like, they are in a good spot, quote unquote. If Story gets hurt, they're prepared. If Casas gets hurt.
Yeah, first base does not seem like there's a guy ready to rip there.
I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, Rafi Devers is not in shape to go play that.
No.
So what do you do? I don't
know. You bring in Romy Gonzalez, I guess.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, so that's another good point. Why
Pablo Reyes is who I was thinking of.
Oh, right.
Not to be confused with Yu Chang.
Oh, Pablo Reyes was a big leaguer. He had a walk-off grand slam.
Cora said he was. Cora, he was playing for the team.
One time.
He was playing
I thought
you
were talking about Jamie Westbrook.
No.
That guy was for like 11 years.
No.
Yeah.
He was on the team, and Cora's like, this guy's not a big leaguer. I was like, way to go, Alex. Way to build up your guys.
That was like the great Ron Renicki in 2020 when somebody was asking him post-game about something. He's like, who do you want me to put in?
Yeah, it's Ryan Weber.
He's like, honest to God, guys, who do you want me to put in? You see this bullpen? Like, yeah. Yeah, you're doing the best you can.
Here we go. So did I say 0-2? Somebody just said
probably.
Did I say 0-2? Yeah, I probably did. 22 is what I meant to say.
I've gotten to the point now where I just hear it. I know what you mean when you say 0-1, 0-2. 21, 22.
Story was bad before he got hurt, says the text line. He sucks at the plate. No, I'm not telling you he'd hit for a high average, but he'd run into some
home runs. Yeah, no. His average is...
So biggest swing player is Casas. Who's the biggest swing pitcher?
The biggest... Hauk.
So I agree. I think a lot of people would answer Buehler. I also, like you, would answer Hauk.
I think he's a little bit more you know what you're going to get with Buehler, I think.
Buehler's been... Last two times he's pitched, he was mediocre pre-injury, 4-plus ERA. And coming back from the injury last year, 5-plus ERA, although in fairness to him, he was good in the postseason.
Hauk was so good the first half of last season, and then he was average. Like, he wasn't terrible. We went through the numbers the other day, like, sort of month by month. He became somewhat average after that. But if you're looking, like, he was an all-star pitcher a year ago. So, like, if that's one outcome versus, you know, he's getting shelled around in the spring, and he's not a guy that has much of a track. He has a great season from last year, but he does not have a track record to fall back on.
No, for sure not. So Crochet, I don't think is a swing player necessarily.
No, that one is just like...
That's a guy you need.
Injury too, though. Like,
no, for sure.
With every single guy. Like, obviously, that's going to affect him. But if he's healthy, like, he should be nailed.
So I asked you this before. We heard Middlebrooks this morning. We're both driving in on the Greg Hill Show. It's also on the Odyssey app if you want to check it out. He said 5-1-25. If the Red Sox offered him 5-1-25, he would take it if he were Garrett Crochet. If the Red Sox offered him 5-1-25, I think his agent lasts him off the phone.
I do too. The one maybe middle ground you could have. And so when you look at it that way, 125 is a ton of money. $25 million a year is obviously pretty good, but the salaries are going up and up and up. Max Fried and Corbin Burns were free agents this year, which obviously Garrett Crochet is not a free agent. But those guys both made over $200 million total for their deals. And they're 30 at the time of signing. So like both of this, you can like say, works for Crochet or against him, right? So he's not a free agent. So it's not like you have everybody bidding on you. That works against him. But he's 25 years old. He's 5 years younger than when Burns signed his deal at over $200 million. So he knows if he bets on himself, he could make even more money than that. Or do you take the guarantee? Your guy that's already had multiple Tommy Johns, are you worried about that? Pitchers drop like flies all the time. The one thing that I think maybe both sides could possibly agree on would be if you do that same structure, but you have an opt-out after the third year. Because it would be enticing to Crochet because he's not making a lot of money this year and next year. So you get a huge raise this year and next year. The Red Sox get one more year out of team control and also 3 years of data to sort of be like, is this a guy we want to commit even more money to? But even then, I don't know. Maybe Crochet says, I'll bet on myself.
It would be conservative if he took it. Now, but yeah. I'm with you. I could see him taking it. And
that's more enticing than just lock him in 5 years, no opt-outs at $25 million, where let's say he wins the Cy Young, and then he's like, I have 4 years at $100 million left.
Right.
I could have 4 years at $200 million, not $200 million, but like a ton.
I don't rule something that out, you know?
Or like, at least like 160.
I said before, and I believe this, if they offered him the Max Fried, Corbin Burns type of deal, where they're offering him $200 million, right? Let's just use that as like a ballpark number, if you're unfamiliar with those deals. He should take it. And I would be on the Red Sox side for that. If they're offering him $5,125, and assuming they're not getting creative with opt-outs and things like this, if that's what they're offering, then he should go out there, pitch, and not negotiate with them until the Red Sox call back with a number that starts with a 2. In terms of the total compensation. So that's how I would come at it. What do you guys think for Garrett Crochet? 617-779-7937. Keith, 6.5 strikeouts is the number I saw for Crochet.
Oh, over that.
Earlier today, buying opportunity or sucker's bet?
Well, I think buying opportunity.
Okay.
I think buying opportunity. Texas is a solid team, though.
They're
not playing like a scrubby squad. So, but I think Crochet, first start with the new team, I think he comes out and has a massive game.
What?
That's why I also got a Bregman dong.
Let me play this game out.
All right.
7.5 over under.
Over.
8.5.
Under.
Okay, there's
snowman.
Your line. I was about
snowman, like a Jeremy Swayman snowman.
Don't you think? We'd have to stop at 27.
Yeah, well, that's
I could
true.
See final line, 6 innings, 1 run, 8 Ks.
Is that the prediction?
Yep. Six innings, one run, eight Ks gets the win.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
And the Red Sox obviously get the win.
Red Sox get the win.
I was about to ask what happens with the bullpen, but you just answered it. They get the win. Bullpen hangs on by the seat of their pants.
They do great.
Okay, as we heard earlier today, Liam Hendricks on the IL to start the year. Bit of a curveball from the Red Sox and Christian Campbell batting sixth in the opening day lineup. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Your season predictions, all your thoughts for Garrett Crochet today. First time we get to see him in a Red Sox uniform in a game that matters. We saw him all spring. And we'll circle back to the Patriots as well. What are the range of outcomes this year for Stephon Diggs once he gets on the field? We'll do that next.
So what's the best case scenario for 2025? I would say 72 catches, 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's your best case scenario. Worst case, not ready until Columbus Day, 47 catches, not happy with the situation. The offense stagnates. And the team's looking for a trap door, and that's worst case.
It is opening day for the Red Sox, I guess.
Yeah, Major League Baseball opening day was last week in Japan.
They already got to it. But it is opening day. We've been celebrating all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Dong draft pools,
huge.
MLB predictions.
What a time.
Season previews in 60 seconds, et cetera, et cetera. But you heard Tommy Curran yesterday on WEEI Afternoons discussing the range of outcomes for Stephon Diggs this season. And it really does all come down to almost like what we were talking about with Story and Cassis before. Is he out there? Is he not? Is he out there week one? Is he catching 80 balls and putting up 1,000 yards? Or is he not out there till week four, week five? He starts on PUP. He's behind schedule. He never really gets on the same page with Drake May. And it's a middling year. I mean, I think those are the range of outcomes with Steph Diggs this year. And I'm on board with the signing. I'm excited about the signing. I do have questions about it. And to me, that's really what it comes down to, what Curran just highlighted there.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's the unknown. And I know he's been working out. And they say he's ahead of schedule and all that stuff. I'll choose to be optimistic on this. I think he does have like a 1,000-yard season, right? Like, I don't think he's going to be... Buffalo Bills, 1,500 yards, top of the league, first team all pro. Like, that's a lot at that age, let alone coming off the injury. But there have been guys like DeAndre Hopkins a couple years ago when he went to Tennessee, still a 1,000-yard year. Like, he wasn't amazing. Right, he wasn't the guy that he was.
He wasn't vintage DeAndre Hopkins.
Calvin Ridley had a 1,000-yard year last year. Jacoby Myers had a 1,000-yard year last year. So I don't think we're talking about, oh, here's Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Nobody expects that. But I do think he's going to come in here and be clearly the number one guy on the team. And you also got to think, if you play every game, or even if you miss one game, and you average 60 yards a game, it's not like amazing, but that adds up to like a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, so, that'll get you there.
So I think, you know, here and there he has like a big game and then disappears. Remember, like, the Patriots had a stretch where they didn't have like a 100-yard receiver for like the longest time. I don't even know how many they've had in the last 5 years. Like, since Brady's left, I don't know how many they've had. But I feel like he could still be that. I think he's a great route runner. He can catch the ball. Like, I think he'll have a good year.
Now that you bring that up, I thought I...
Was there a stat on that somewhere?
Well, I thought I heard Gasper say... it's been a while since Steph Diggs has had a 100-yard game. Actually, thinking this out. So let me look that up. I thought I heard him say that.
Probably the middle of his last season in Buffalo.
The other day on TV. So Stephon Diggs did not top 100 yards last year, although he had 10 catches for 94 against Minnesota.
Yeah, well, so it doesn't close, count. For doing 100, it doesn't count.
Yep. If we're going back to 23, not 03, he didn't in either playoff game. The last time he had 100 yards was October 15th. He had 10 for 100 against the New York Giants.
Yeah. Part of four consecutive weeks of 100 or more yards, looking at it now. That was with the Bills, and that was in 2023.
Yeah, but even in 2023, he only had 200-yard games whole year.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
2023?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought those were preseason games. I'm sorry. Those after London. Yep. No, you're right. Five out of the first six games, he had 100
yards. But it was early in the season, and then it did kind of cool off just a little bit. And then, to your point, he didn't have any. But he also had... What, four or five catches in every single game for Houston, even?
We gave you these numbers yesterday. He was much more productive to start with Houston than I would have thought, and he was much better for the individual numbers for C.J. Stroud than I would have thought. And I do think the second half for him in Buffalo was not necessarily evidence of him losing a step, although maybe this is why they made the shift they did, but they switched offensive coordinators midseason in 23, and... They started emphasizing him less on offense. They started running the football more, and they continued that last year without him. So that was more of like a philosophical, directional thing that they were doing. One item on Steph Diggs and his contract, Jordan Schultz had this earlier today. New England made the move, meaning signing Diggs, and they have an out after the first year if things don't go well.
I'm shocked.
So I just...
It's a football contract.
People are taking a victory lap on this on social media, like... Can't lose for the Patriots. They're out after 1 year if he stinks. No. That is the lose. If he comes in and he stinks, then they can get out after 1 year. That's a good thing. Like, no, of course. He's a guy who nobody, the league didn't want.
Yeah.
It's why he's here. Of course they have an out after 1 year. I don't get people spiking the football.
I know it's a topic that gets brought up, and you know, I guess it's part of the job that we have to discuss it, but I don't have a lot of time for either side that's like $69 million, that's way too much, or they can get out of it after 1 year. It's like neither one of those arguments matter. Cause I think you should know at this point that the football contracts are fake. They're the only ones that have two numbers. And then even those numbers have more detail and nuance after that.
Even when you initially see, I pointed this out yesterday, Stephon Diggs, it was reported he got $26 million guaranteed. Well, it was reported he got $69 million.
Nice.
$26 million guaranteed.
Right.
But
there's going to be wording in there and everything else.
It won't even be 26. Like, and Schultz's report does emphasize that. If they have an out after 1 year, what, they're giving them $26 million for 1 year? Definitely not.
The other three sports, if you hear the money, that's what it is. In baseball now, there's so much of it, you have to ask about like opt-outs. But still, like for that year, you know they're getting that much money. Same thing with basketball. Same thing with hockey. So football is always just so silly. So, yeah, especially when the number is like, the first number that comes out is the one that the agent wants out there, the team, the player, they all want that out there. Be like, look at all the money they're making. And then you're like, well, how much are you really making? And then, of course, the years are never what the years are actually.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Yeah, you can get out of a contract pretty much whenever you want.
You guys never heard of dead cap?
No. Okay. Trust me, Philly fans, we've heard of it. When it comes to the production for Steph Diggs this year and how much they're going to emphasize him. Like, if he has a big year, he's going to make a bunch of money. He'll be back on the team next year. But if he comes out and sucks, they can get out after 1 year. That's still a loss for the – if he comes out and is terrible this year and they don't have to pay him after this year, I would not consider that a win for them whatsoever.
No, that's the thing. I just want him to be really good for Drake May and for the team. I'm less concerned about how much money he's going to end up walking away with.
Let's go to John on the Vineyard on Tristan Cassis. Go ahead, John.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. I think Tristan Cassis is a good hitter. So as long as he's not injured, he can definitely hit something like, I don't know, 250, 280 or something like that. Maybe even, you know, 290 or something.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about the batting average so much. I'm confident.
That's not really his game. I mean, he's a career 250 hitter.
I'm confident in the power, being there if he plays.
And he walks a lot. So he's like more of like an old school, like almost like a money ball type of guy, right? Where I think he is going to be more patient. Cora was even talking about that
like
yesterday.
Like a Hatterberg.
Like a Scott Hatterberg.
Like a Greek god of walks.
He probably plays first base like Hatterberg. But he and Bregman, Cora said this yesterday, like they'll slow the game down a little bit. You know, like Duran and Devers might be a little bit more aggressive, hitting 1-2. Bregman and Casas are the guys that are more kind of like old school, like make the pitcher work type of guys. But no, I would think like OPS and home runs, if he's out there, will be pretty good for Casas. Should be.
So, and I found the answer to WEI Afternoons yesterday interesting. When Andy asked him about the projections that Breslow put out there, like he could be a 41-10 guy. And Cora kind of laughed it off.
He's like, how many plays?
Yeah, he's like, the guy just needs to play. And they are fatigued, I would say, with Tristan Cassis as a team, probably the manager specifically. But if he goes out and rakes, they'll put up with it. I agree with that. He needs to be out there to do it. And unfortunately for him, he's already dinged up. So we'll add that to our Stephon Diggs discussion, 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the draft as well. Now that the Patriots have Stephon Diggs, what should they do at number 4? We'll get into it with your feedback next.